Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord that He is. God is always working, always doing something for His people. In heaven, after the rapture and we're in heaven, we're going to realize that God did everything possible to get all the people that His people there. We're going to learn that people that were reluctant, He couldn't help them. But those that were faithful, God, we're going to learn that God worked with them by the Holy Spirit. He gave pastors the right messages strategically. You know, one reason I talk about following God a lot is because the revelation, knowing the strategies of God, the only way to learn it is to obey Him. You can't learn some things you cannot learn unless you obey God. Even though the Word teach you, you'll never learn it for yourself unless you learn to obey Him and follow through with everything that He says. And I, that's how He taught me. So yesterday I thought about all the times I talked about following God. I said, man, I talk about that a lot. But there's a lot there. Now, today is the 1st of September. It is Wednesday, September the 1st, 2021. And being honest with you, there were times I didn't think I would see this year on earth. But God has given us grace, and I thank God for it. We're still here. We're still able to win souls, and I thank God for that. I like winning souls. I like ministering the words of God. I love to minister God's word. That I like that more than anything. And it as we go forward doing whatever He give us to do, it is successful. Whenever we obey Him and we do things according to His strategy. And we're, if God gives you something to do and you do it immediately or you do it on time, within the time frame, then you're going to get the results. Now, that's where you're going to start learning things you never knew before. Every time I obey God, and sometimes it don't make sense to my mind, the things He'll give me to do. I wonder, I say, well, I know the Lord said do this. And it didn't look like, most of the time, it don't look like I expect it to look. But out of all the things that He could have given me, this is what He said do. Okay, I roll with it. So I roll with it. I trust God on it. And I was thinking about how trust works yesterday. Trust is necessary when you're reluctant. That's when it's necessary to trust God. Believing God is very important. You're taking Him at face value. And sometimes you believe God when you agree with Him, when you're not reluctant. You want to do what He say. You're glad He gave you something to do. You believe Him. Hey. But when it's something that's new to you and it's something way out of the realm of how you think, and the only and God wants you to do something that's very odd to you. Now that's when you're going to need to trust Him. Now guess what trust does? It's the same protocol as belief. But every time you believe God, think about it, and you do what He say, it turns out good. You were in agreement, so you believed Him. There was no reluctance. And you did it, and it always, whatever God say do, it exceeds your expectations. So, but when you trust God, you know, He tell you to do something that's over the top or something out of the realm of your comfort zone or something that's you're not skilled in. And you're going out, you feel like you're going out on a limb if you do this. But that's when you need to trust God. But guess what happens when you trust God? Let's say a man is skilled at faith. All right, he's good at faith, he's skilled at faith. He gets people healed. He gets people saved. He believes God. He gets results. He's an elder. Okay, that's what elders do. Elders are people that have they're mature in the Lord. That's all elder means. It doesn't matter how old they are. It's just that they're mature in the Lord. Christ is being formed in them to a point that they get things done. And now God tells you to do something that's a stretch to you. You've never done it before. Well, trust takes you beyond where you would normally go. And instead of having faith in what you're used to, you're having faith in what God is revealing to you that's new to you. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to win. And eventually, the thing that's new to you, you're going to have new skills. See, Jesus put it this way. He said, if you bear fruit, I'll purge you that you bear more fruit. Trusting God is the role that it takes to bear. You see, trust is important. Anytime reluctance is a problem, it'll take you beyond where you're going. Jesus said, if you're bearing fruit, he'll purge you that you bear more fruit. And that's good. That when God gives you something to do and it takes you beyond yourself, you know that's promotion. And the problem is, so many wonderful Christian people have planed out. They stick to where they're comfortable, especially when the ministry or when it's successful in their eyes. Remember something: if it's successful in your eyes, that doesn't mean that it's at a plateau. God has more. You've been faithful. You've been doing what you should do, and now it's time for promotion. Now watch this. Now the Lord taught me this a long time ago. When you get to that point, you have to make that next step because it's going to introduce other people. After you've been successful on this new road, it's the same narrow path, but you're in the next phase and you're faithful there. You're going to meet new people. That's going to take it even further. If you don't go forward, that can't happen. And the people God had in place will have to be redirected. See, there's a lot of things that the church has missed out on because they didn't follow God perfectly. When you do the good plan of God or the acceptable will of God, then it's nowhere near as good as the perfect will of God. One time I put it this way. Let's say it's a scale of 100. All right, you got the perfect will of God. That's 100. The good. All right, the perfect will of God is 100. The good will of God is 60. The acceptable will of God is around 30%. Now, that's what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. The things that will happen because you followed God perfectly is much greater. It's on a much greater level. It's a much greater glory that you're walking in. And some people say, well, if I've been detouring a long time, can I get back to the perfect will of God? You can begin doing what God gives you now. Because time is very important. Timing is very important to the plan of God. You cannot always go back and regain everything that's lost. And that's the tragedy of not following God. The people that you would have met, people that would have been a blessing, people that the money that would have come, all that's gone now. It's been redirected. God has to keep moving. If we stop, God has to keep moving. God is always making the wisest choice for his church. He loves his people. That's the revelation you got to receive. You're in the will of God, doing his work, but God can't wait on you. you have to follow him in order to, if you follow him, you'll get the best results. Sometimes people are fired. They're fired from the greater things, but they're hired in where they're at. If you don't follow God and match time, it'll be too late. That's a fact. I've seen that too many times. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what if the pastors that didn't follow you in the past, if they start following you now? He said, it's too late. I said, why? I said, what if they repent? He said, they wasted too much training time. See, training, and everything goes together with God. When you go beyond the training point, then it can't happen. Now, the Lord taught me all these wonderful things about following God. And in 2005, He told me to go on the radio. All right. So I knew I didn't have the money to go on the radio. So I planned my business out. I made business plans. And then I came up with all the plans I would need to start a business and how I would do it. Well, in May of 2006, I started the business. And I had to transition churches at the same time. The Lord sent me to another church, the church I go to now. And I tried to go in the last week of May, and I couldn't find the church. I even had a dream that I was trying to find the church, and I went all through Adamsville, and I went on those roads where I had the dream, looking for the church. Nevertheless, the first Sunday I got there was the first Sunday of June of 2006. And in fact, we passed by it the week before. My daughter said, that's the church right there, Dad. I said, that's not the church. And because I thought Miss McCann said it was on 78, but it was off 78. Anyway, it was on Minor Parkway. Nevertheless, I made it to the church, and Pastor McCann, in his message, confirmed some things about the radio broadcast. And the Lord had dealt with me about it. And that night, the Lord, he gave me this dream that I was about to hang a garment at a cleaner's. I was about to hang the garment on an empty hook at a cleaner's. And the empty hook was right in front of me, and I was just about to hang the garment on that empty hook, and there was no more empty hooks. And I woke up before I could hang it. And then I said, Lord, what was that about? He said, obedience must match time, or it turns into disobedience. Well, that Monday morning, when I woke up, as soon as I could, I called a radio station, and I signed the papers, fill out the forms, and the next week I was on the radio. Been on the radio ever since. The Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast was born. All right. I got the 3 o'clock slot. I got on there just in time to get the 3 o'clock slot, which was right after Reverend Herschel Walker. Reverend Walker, I forgot his first name. It wasn't Herschel, it was Reverend Walker in Bessemer. Now, in those days, everybody listened to Reverend Walker, and I got the 3 o'clock slot. And after me, somebody got the 3:15 slot. They would have got the 3 o'clock slot, and it would have been very awkward. It would have been different. I got there just in time to get the 3 o'clock slot, best slot, because I came in out right after Reverend Walker, which already had a great audience listening. Now, How God used that, I don't know. In heaven, we'll find out. But over time, a man came down the street and said, Reverend Walker got a call from Egypt. And they wanted him to come to Egypt and preach. Because every Sunday, they listened to him between 2 and 3 o'clock. So if they listened to him, they probably heard the Living Letter Ministries broadcast as well. Think about how God works and how I got that information. A guy named Daryl Cotton told me that. I mean, that was a blessing. And I had been on the radio for several years at that point. See, timing is everything. If you're not there when you're supposed to be, then your anointing can't work there. And sometimes people miss the train. And when they miss it, they don't know it. When God tells you to do something and you don't do it, nobody knows it unless God tell them. But he put me in a position to know these things and find out. You know, all the pastors that he sent me to, that and they didn't do exactly what he said, then he couldn't do what he was going to do. Remember something about faith. When you operate in faith, now you have attached God to a situation. A healing process has begun. And it don't stop. But if you don't do it, if you don't pray for the sick, whatever's going to happen will take its course instead of your healing process taking its course. If you don't preach the word in season and out of season like you're supposed to, then whatever was going to happen with those people, it's going to take its course instead of your healing process taking its course. The course of a ministry is very, it's not supposed to stay the same. You're supposed to grow from glory to glory. You're not supposed to stay in the same spot. Now, you may be in the same location, but the changes that God alert you to, you have to take it on. You have to go forward. So many times the church has given up too much to tradition. Now, I say these things sadly. I wanted every one of those pastors to do God's best. Not just one of them. I wanted all of them to do all that's in God's heart. I knew it was going to be good. And I wanted to see it. And when they kept doing other things, it caused me, what's the word? I was grieved. You know, Lot was grieved because he lived in Sodom. I was grieved to see pastors not go forward like I knew they could. And the Bible said, "Don't grieve not the Holy Spirit." He was grieved too, but they didn't. But now watch this. He was grieved, but he loved them. Now, when I gave them a word, God was very loving, even though he was grieved. They didn't know what they were walking away from. And God understood that. He was grieved because they quenched the spirit. They stopped the process in their life. They halted it. All they knew was what I gave them, but they didn't know it. Jesus told, the people that tried to kill Jesus on the cross, they pierced him in his side, they hung him on the cross. They were doing wrong. In their mind, he was a criminal. But Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." People don't know the vastness. If people knew the outcome, see, they didn't know the outcome. They knew God was working with me about something important. And God gave them enough to go on, but they didn't have the revelation that God had given me. It wasn't revelation to them. To them, it was probably just a good idea. Or maybe even as low as a peculiar idea. Maybe they thought I was just somebody trying to make a name for myself. I don't know what they thought, but I know that God gave them enough to go on. Because on average, I write the word, I go to the church, I wrote the word at home, and they're preaching. How would I know what they're going to preach? They're preaching. It was God gave them a clue to see this out. The least they could have did was take it to God in prayer. When you take it to God in prayer, if you are biased, or what's the word? If your will is in your heart too strong, and you want God to say pull your way, you know, it's easy to hear what you want to hear, but it's not God. It's your own will. But if you humble yourself and say, Lord, what is my wisdom in this? And you give it, and you receive the knowledge, what God is trying to give you. You have to receive it, or you won't believe it. You may feel like you're going out on a limb, but ignoring God won't work. That's been proven. But if you say, hey, the Lord gave me something. What do I do with this, Lord? How do I look at this? I don't want to be deceived. But when you can judge something by the peace, by the love that's in it, by the compassion that's in it, the wisdom. If those things are there, then that's God talking. Then I ask God for clues. I say, Lord, when I want to understand something, you know, what's a good one? I get lukewarm, a lukewarm Christian. That's a good one. That was a good example for me to use here. I said, Lord, you said you would spit out a lukewarm person. Now, in my mind, years ago, I thought a lukewarm person was like a person that was not aggressive about the things of God. You know how some Christians, they study the word, they go to church. Some Christians, they love God, but they don't have go to church. And they study, but they don't have, they don't study like I would. But they stay out of trouble. And they love everybody. And I said, well, what kind of person would God spit out? And then he gave me, at first he gave me the crowd that Jeremiah ran into in chapter 42. They asked Jeremiah to seek the Lord on their behalf, and they'll do whatever he said do. They didn't get captured. They didn't get captured in Babylon. They were still in their homeland. And 10 days went by. Then Jeremiah came and told them what the Lord said do. They wanted to go to Egypt. Jeremiah said, don't go to Egypt. But he pointed out that they dissembled in their heart before they came to Jeremiah. They had no intention of doing what Jeremiah would give them to do. That's why the Lord waited 10 days. And not only did they not listen to Jeremiah, they went to Egypt anyway, and they took Jeremiah with them as a hostage, basically, against his will. They took Jeremiah to Egypt. They didn't just go to Egypt themselves. They took Jeremiah to Egypt. This is the kind of person that is lukewarm. They dissembled in their heart. So I wanted another. I like to understand things thoroughly. And that's what you have to do. When something's new to you, God already knows it's new to you. And he know whether you're trying to obey him or whether you're trying to get out of it. But, if I'm going to be all on board with God, I got to get to a point that I'm one with his will, or the enemy will fool me somewhere while I'm unbalanced. I've got to be totally aligned and in full agreement with the Holy Spirit. Either you're in full agreement or you're in partial agreement, and that's where the enemy can work against you. He'll use your thoughts and fears and feelings or whatever against you. Sometimes our will is just too strong. So I said, Lord, I want another example, a person that would represent a lukewarm person that you would spit out. And he gave me King Saul. First of all, when King Saul, he got to a point that he obeyed the people more than he obeyed God. When the prophet pointed this out, he didn't change. He did several things that he shouldn't have done. He offered a sacrifice that the priest was supposed to do. He kept Agag alive and the best of the flock to offer to God. And Samuel had to tell him, God, rather have obedience is greater than sacrifice. Then, not only that, he fired him. He said, God is going to raise up a king that's better than you. So he went looking for who this person and tried to kill him. But man is not as smart as God. He ended up having David to live in his house and play the harp. So when the evil spirit came on him, David would play music and he'd feel better. See, he was out of the will of God. He needed the outside things to comfort him because he's not comforted from within. He's not in the bubble of obedience. He's in the realm of disobedience. The problem is he wouldn't repent. He wouldn't budge. And then he tried to javelin David. Then he went David hunting twice. Well, several times. But the Lord delivered Saul into David's hand twice. That's when he stopped bothering David. But he still didn't repent. He just didn't go David hunting anymore because he knew he was outclassed. Then after this, he saw the witch. He went to the witch of Endor. That wasn't enough. Then he died at the hands of an Amalekite. He told his soldier to kill him. Well, he fell on the sword, and it didn't kill him. Then the Amalekite happened along, and he asked the Amalekite to kill him, and the Amalekite killed him. And, he never repented. He wouldn't budge. As if he was doing better and better with it. He was doing worse and worse. And that's what a lukewarm person is like. If God say, I'll spit them out of my mouth, there's something very rotten about them. Now, people that don't go to church, every church service, and they don't study like I would, they're still sweet people. They stay out of trouble. When you talk to them, they love God. They're not trying to do nothing crazy. That's not the kind of person God would spit out. Sometimes we have to make adjustments. But in order to understand the kind of person that God would spit out, I had to do research. So when something is new to you, God knows how to get his points over to you. You just have to seek till you find it. I don't want anybody to just do what I say. I want them to go at least do the research, become one and aligned with what God is doing so he can promote you like he wants to. And he, when he sent me to these pastors, now I felt all kind of ways about what I was. I didn't really like it. Because when he first sent me, I didn't see nothing wrong with what they were doing. I said, why in the world did I tell God I'd obey everything he said? I didn't see it. And the Lord said, he's not obeying me. I said, Lord, I don't see nothing wrong with what he preached. I don't see nothing wrong with what he's doing. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's doing what I would do. I don't see the problem. But the Lord knew. He told him what to do, and he didn't do it. Then, he put me in a, I stuck with what God was saying. I had to because I promised God I'd obey him. And so I went, everything I had a question about, I said, Lord, I don't see what the problem is. I said, show me. I don't understand. And he taught me. He trained me some more. Then he gave me a word. See, he had me where he wanted me. I obeyed him. He knew I'd obey him. And he knew I didn't see what he saw. So when I had to go to these pastors, I had something to go on because I had a word. I gave the pastor the word. I saw what the Lord was saying. And I continued. Eventually, I saw that people were not shifting gears. They were bearing fruit when it was time for God to purge them so they could bring more, bear more fruit. They weren't, they, that's why they were failing. But I didn't know that. I didn't have anybody to teach me that. God, it was all new to me the first year. The second year, it was a little bit different. And the third year, it was even, I understood. The Lord started showing me visions over time. What would happen if they followed the course? When I drew near to the Lord myself and got a lot of things cleared up, when he gave me the 15 chapter regimen every day, I read those 15 chapters. He started dialoguing with me. And then in the dialogue, what I mean by dialoguing, I would ask the Lord a question. He'd immediately answer me. He started clearing up a lot of misnomers, spiritual misnomers that I believed. The Word of God gave me a broader picture of the, it gave me a greater version of God, of a God's eye view. When I read the scriptures, it's like I had a bird's eye view. When I read the chapters, I saw more of what was going on. And over time, I began to have a God's eye view of life. I started seeing why God said some things. Things stopped being such a mystery. The word of, over time, see, when you read chapters over time, I call that the spirit of the word, the intended perfect meaning of the word.